Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we talk walleye fishing with walleye tournament pro and fishing guide Bill Kutka. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
The Hayward area is a true snowmobile mecca with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, you'll find us at Hayward Power Sports. We're open from 9 until 5:30, Monday through Saturday, with sales, service, parts, and rentals. Plus on Sundays, we're open for rental pickup and drop-off only from 9 to noon. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service departments Monday through Saturday. With state-of-the-art computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, 509, and Climb. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and Castle helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports. Just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. I got Jarrett McCarthy in here. And Jarrett, boy, the weather is all over the place. I mean, we're looking last weekend, there was water all over the lakes, and now it's froze up a little bit and conditions have gotten better, but now we don't know. We got more snow.
Yeah, I mean, we had the rain last week, and that did a really good job of taking a lot of the snow off the ice. And, you know, we had some cold weather that followed it, so it, you know, really solidified that top layer of ice, and it was almost clear ice. There were patches of snow and stuff there, and it was all rutted up.
What have you been hearing as far as people catching? I know pan fishing has actually been pretty good.
Pan fishing's been really good, and so has northern pike. We're hearing, you know, odds and ends people who are out after walleye right now. They're catching a few out there, but most people are out there looking for bluegills, crappies, perch, and northern.
And the walleye thing, that'll end, the first weekend in March?
Yes, yep, first full weekend in March. It ends on Saturday at midnight or what have you. So then they'll get a month and a half break until opener.
And the only thing that'll be open then is panfish and bass?
Correct, yes.
You know, and that's the interesting thing, too, is that it's been a couple of years now. They open bass season. It doesn't close.
Yep. It's good and it's bad because, you know, a lot of people that are out there catching bass, you know, they're throwing lures that you could easily double up on for walleye or northern or something like that. So it's good that they're letting people out, you know, for bass or what have you. But, if you're sitting in a spot that you're looking for a few bass, it's predominantly walleye out there, you're not really giving those fish a break that they need.
And, you know, you can catch smallmouth eye fishing can actually get pretty decent as they get in the late winter here.
Yeah, it really can.
Let's talk a little bit about the panfish again. The crappies, most of that been basin fishing, deeper water. What's going there?
From what we've found so far, you know, over the past couple of weeks, yeah, we've been finding fish anywhere from, you know, 15 to 25 feet deep. Some fish are still crawling along the bottom, but a lot of those fish are suspended anywhere from 7 to 15 feet down.
I know I've been using live scope out there, and you can actually see them schools out quite a ways from where you're drilling a hole. But, you know, you drill a hole and you can be on top of them. Unless there's something there that's holding them, most of them fish seem to be just roaming around, so they won't be there very long. So, you know, if you don't have the live scope, you get out in that basin, if you can find some fish in an area and you sit on that spot, sooner or later they're going to roam back through there, it seems like.
Yep, exactly. It really pays to be mobile when you're fishing that that basin bite out there. And, you know, when you first get out there, just, you know, like I was out there yesterday and I was fishing a basin bite, you know, check an area that they were over, you know, a week prior to, and there was absolutely nothing there, you know, in about 16 feet of water. So we had moved out a little bit deeper, and I think, you know, we probably wound up punching 40, 50 holes before we found anything that we liked. But those last 10, 15 holes that we found, you know, there'd be fish there, you know, there wouldn't be fish there. You know, you come up to a hole and you drop onto them, and as soon as you drop that bait, they pop up. So, you know, don't let a blank Vexlar out in water where you know there are fish for you. You know, those fish could be sitting right off to the side, and you just got to look for them.
Well, the bluegill's kind of with them, too. Talking about the fishing at deeper basins, too, the one thing we should stress out here is that, you know, depending on how deep you're catching them, you know, generally I look at 20 to 25 feet as being the bottom of where, as far as I'm going to try going after the fish. But even then, you'll start seeing some fish that will exhibit that barrier trauma. They come up, their mouth will be open. They don't want to go back down the hole. And if you're getting into that position, you want to definitely move your bait up higher and catch the fish up higher that are up higher.
Absolutely. And typically those fish that are, you know, roaming up high are your more active fish, and those fish that are sitting on bottom are your more dormant fish. So if you've got a choice, look for those fish that are suspended a little bit. They release a lot easier if you're not looking to keep a mess of fish. But it's just practicing safe catch and release for those fish.
You bet. So there's no point in releasing the small ones if they're just going to die. I mean, so you're better off just to fish a little bit shallower. You know, northern pike fishing, what's been going on there? You mentioned they were biting.
Yep, they've been biting too. Starting to see some fish come up a little bit shallower. I mean, a lot of guys are starting to use bigger baits and bigger dead baits for those fish. Works really well this time of year. Now that we've made it through, you know, halfway through February, there's going to be a lot of winter kill on the bottom out there. So those pike are going to be nose deep in mud looking for those winter kill fish that didn't quite make it. And, you know, if you're smart and you've got a big dead bait, that's where your bait's going to be too.
Yeah, and this last end of the season here, that ends too in March there.
Yep, it does. Northern walleye, you know, muskie's been over for a while, but both those seasons will shut down for a little bit. Pike will be spawning, walleyes will be too. So give those fish a much-needed break.
You know, and there'll be some guys, including myself, that are thinking about making some road trips. When we get into March here, we can, you know, you got the Fox River, you got the Mississippi River. It's a good way to get away for a day or two and get down there, maybe catch a bunch of fish and get back in the boat again.
Absolutely. You know, I've been peeking at weather that's coming up. I see some mid-30s on the way in mid-March, or early March, and, hopefully we are starting to think about open water a lot sooner than we were last year.
I know you guys are thinking open water here at the store because you're getting a lot of stuff in and getting kind of ready here.
Yeah, we really are. You know, we're getting new stuff in every day, getting set for summer. But, you know, as we get closer to spring, you know, don't start putting that ice fishing tackle away quite yet, because a lot of those ice fishing jigs that you've got in your arsenal will be perfect for those first open water gills and crappies.
You know, and talking about you're getting ready for that, but you also have a bunch of ice fishing gear, some shacks and stuff. You got a sale going on, right? And this is a time of year to buy it because you could get a deal on it.
Get a really good deal. Yeah, we've got shacks and augers in here that are 10% off. We got 5% off on electronics. So, yeah, if you're looking to, you know, treat yourself to an end of the year gift or start getting ready for next year, you know, this is the time of year when we got sales rolling that it's best time to come in and grab those items.
Well, Jared, I want to thank you for taking the time to share that information with our listeners here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we've got a very interesting interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Bill Kutka talking walleye fishing. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Rent some winter fun from Hayward Power Sports. We're Wisconsin's largest and most complete snowmobile rental service, offering a wide range of late model sleds from Polaris and Ski-Doo. All of our machines are frequently serviced by our certified technicians, and your rental includes a helmet. Plus, you'll be able to ride out the gate with access to 600 miles of groomed trails. To rent your winter fun, go to haywardpowersports.com, give us a call, or visit Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
At Hayward Power Sports, let's have some fun!
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one of the people I get on here from time to time is Hayward Area Fishing Guide and Pro Tournament Walleye Angler, Bill Kutka. A chance to talk to Bill the other day on the phone about walleye fishing with some great tips for you.
Well, Bill, you know, when it comes to walleye fishing, historically, up in northern Wisconsin here, it was strictly mostly bobbers and live bait rigs because trolling wasn't allowed on a lot of lakes. And now we're allowed to troll on the lakes. And, you know, there's a time and a place for trolling, isn't there?
Oh, for sure. And thanks again for having me, John. You know, I just got back. I was down at the Chicagoland Sports Show last weekend for 4 days, and you know, I talked a lot about fishing, of course, did a couple seminars, and you know, actually trolling was in a couple of my seminars for both Lake Erie and walleye fishing up here in Hayward. And you know, I said this to some folks. I said, you know, if God came to me and said, Bill, this is gonna be your last day, how do you want to fish? I'd say, give me a jigging rod and some live bait and I'll see you tomorrow. You know, but to your point, I think, you know, trolling is, to me, it's a necessity. I use it to not only catch fish, but to find fish more importantly. You know, if I'm on a trolling bite, John, depending on the season, or really not even depending on the season, and I find hot schools, I'll pull those trolling rods in and I'll turn around and I'll bobber them and jig them and fish them.
Yeah. Well, usually when we start off, I mean, we'll be looking at spring here sooner or later with this winter we've got going on. Hopefully it doesn't go on forever, but you will be looking at spring fishing, and typically the trolling is not the big deal when it comes to the right away in the season, is it?
No, you're dealing with you know, less aggressive, you know, fish. You know, they just come off the spawn, the water's going to be colder, you know, they're just looking to settle back into life. You know, it's more of the subtle presentations, and you know, they'll be schooled up and moody, and you know, we're talking about walleye in particular, and you know, yeah, my trolling rods won't come out until, you know, late spring.
Well, a lot of times they're up in shallower water too than you really want to troll most of the time.
Oh yeah, for sure. And again, it's just targeting them and knowing the season and adapting. But yeah, trolling for me wouldn't start until late this spring.
Well, you know, once we do get in, it will start getting warmer. We start getting bug hatches and stuff going on. The fish move out a little bit deeper. You know, we can start trolling. There's two different kinds of trolling, though. I mean, you've got your contour trolling, and then you've got open water trolling. And there's a time for that. And usually the contour trolling is better earlier in the season when those fish are staged along the outer edge of the weed lines where you can follow the weed lines and stuff.
Oh, for sure. Nothing makes me you know, happier than you know, working that weed line. I love it. You know, and actually this year I'm blessed to have Offshore Tackle as one of my sponsors, and I've got some mini offshore boards this year I'm going to try up in those shallower waters. I was talking to, you know, Bruce DeShano about that, and he uses them religiously, and they're a smaller version of the OR12 board. They don't have flags on them, and they're good for panfish as well, but they're a small board, and they're also reversible or interchangeable. So your left and right is the same board just by moving the clip on the other side. But, you know, what I like about this approach is during that time of year when they're still in the weeds, it's a stealth approach because, you know, a board makes some kind of distraction, and those fish are still, you know, a little apprehensive, especially when you're in the clearer lakes. You know, you're, you know, trolling weed lines that might be at, oh, anywhere from 12 to 16 foot, you know, and visibility is pretty good in those lakes. So I'm eager to try those boards and just stealth them up in those shallows for sure.
Well, you know, in trolling those, trying to precision troll those weed edges and stuff got a lot easier now when we've got the electronics we got with the side imaging. You can actually see the weeds off the side and tell how far away from that weed edge and that dense vegetation you are to avoid being snagged up with stuff.
You do, and you know, I'm blessed with good electronics, of course. And to your point, you know, we know where they're at, but they change year after year. You know, they might be, you know, 4 feet further out, 10 feet further out, you know, or maybe in a little bit too. So, although I have my weed lines tracked pretty well on some of the nice weed lines that I like to do, I always recheck them year after year. But absolutely. So you not only see the fish or the weed lines, but you can also look at the concentration of the fish and where they are related to those weeds.
Well, you know, and typically people think that, you know, trolling those, doing that contour trolling, a tiller handle boat is a better solution. And it actually is in a lot of situations, but if you start to use electric trolling motors, you can get away with your typical console or your boat with a steering wheel in it. You can get some pretty good boat control by combination using that trolling motor with your regular outboard to make them more sharper turns and stuff to follow that contour a little better.
Oh, I do. And, you know, I run a Minn-Kota Altera, and it's got pretty good, you know, pull. And, you know, in that situation, most times I don't even have my kicker down. You know, I'm going with the electric, and fish sense that too. You know, sometimes, you know, even in the summertime when you're hitting humps and stuff, I truly believe that even the noise that the electric motor puts out while you're spot locked, those fish get finicky. But for sure, you know, I'll use that, you know, trolling motor exclusively, when I'm in that shallower water.
Well, you know, and you mentioned the noise factor, too. It's a lot more important than people think, I believe, at least in my belief, because, you know, the population density per acre of walleyes is not that much lower here than it is in other places where people perceive that there's much better walleye fishing. I think it's the fact that these fish are getting conditioned to having boat traffic around, and that boat represents an overhead predator to them, and noise from that boat actually will move those fish off the side of you. So you're trying to jig fish that aren't there sometimes.
Oh, for sure. And even your electronics put out a pulse, you know, and you have to be aware of that, and you know, use everything to your advantage, but think like the fish. You know, you're spot on with that.
I think the shallower the water, the more important it is too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, again, with the side imaging, John, you know, like with what you have, you don't have to be 20 feet off the line to fish it. You know, sometimes I'm way off, and I'll just set my boards on one side of the boat, and I'll pound that weed line. But I know where the weed line is, and I may be off 100 feet, you know, and a little trickier when you have some boat traffic. But, you know, don't be afraid to get way out and just let those boards go in there, and the boat and all the other stuff that's going on, the noise from the boat, get minimized by distance.
Well, you know, at least I believe when trolling really starts to come into play, that'd be really the most effective, though, is once we get into the full-blown summer patterns and your forage base is up at an ultimate high in the lake, you got bugs hatches going on out there, and you've got a lot of fish that have plenty to eat. I mean, they don't have to work very hard to earn a living, and what'll happen is that, you know, the bite windows get extremely short. Sometimes the fish in some lakes are roaming or just kind of moving around the lake looking for those bug hatches coming up. And you can cover a lot of water, and it trolling creates a reaction strike a lot of times where the fish really aren't eating something. You're just causing them to snap at something and come zipping by them. And, you know, you get into that situation in the summertime when you can't hardly get them to look at a crawler or a leech or a minnow or something like that. You can catch fish trolling with crankbaits.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, you're pretty spot on again with that, you know, sometimes it's just a reaction bite, just like when you're jigging, you know, out there in the basins with, or rock humps with, you know, jigging Rapalas or hyper rattles or the such. But, you know, another thing, I did this in the seminar in, Chicago last weekend, in both seminars, actually, I had five screenshots of my actual Lowrance, unit with different, it was actually the same school of fish. It was actually out in Lake Erie, but it was the same school of fish, but different stages of where those fish were in the water columns, you know. And so I went up and I said, okay, here's Bill's grade. I just called it, you know, I graded it. And it was just a pile of fish, like in 40, 45 foot of water, but they were all in that bottom 5-8 foot of water, or near the bottom. And they were tight. You could just tell they were just there. So I said, you know, probably 50% of people will look at that and say, oh, here's the fish, and rods go in. those aren't the fish you want to target. So I went through the, you know, I had five screens, and all the way up to the last screen was A+. And it was the same school area, but the fish were all the way from the bottom, all the way up into the column, as high as, you know, 8 to 10 feet from the surface. And you could just look by their actions and the bladders that these were the fish you wanted to fish. So that was the point that I tried to make. And even here on our lakes, just because you mark fish, kind of read what they're telling you. You know, are they, to your point, are they just kind of roaming? Are they kind of tight? But when you start seeing those active arches and bigger bladders and fish throughout the column and actually in bait fish, those are the fish you want to hit.
Well, yeah, you know, another point too should make is that the bait fish location is, if the bait fish are wadded up on the bottom, tight to the bottom, the fish aren't likely to be as active as they are if those bait fish are up off the bottom and moving, because especially lakes where you have, you know, Ciscos and that type of bait fish that they're relating to, there are some lakes, like in Minnesota, I know there's lakes that have smelt in them. And when that bait fish comes up off the bottom, the predators get active. When the bait fish is all down at the bottom, you know, one of the things that I hate to see when I go out there guiding, if I'm looking for walleyes and stuff, is what I call the white screen of death, where there's the top of the water and the bottom of the lake and nothing in between, because usually that tells me everything is down tight to the bottom and pretty well going to be a little bit harder to catch.
Oh yeah, and I even showed some screenshots, John, to your point. You know, read what the bait fish are doing. If they're tied up and they're not being broken apart, you know, that means that the fish, even if the walleye are around them, they're not feeding on them. You know, they know where the McDonald's is. They're just not going through the drive-in yet, right? So, you know, I always look for like when the balls get busted up and you get like a huge arch, basically, but you know, the walleye are in there and they're beating them up from the bottom and the sides. That's when they're blasting those bait fish apart, and you know they're active. Now, do you want to be right in that pod? Probably not. You know, I like to work the perimeters of that because you got a lot of competition, but you want to look for that activity where they're actually feeding, and that's what I look for those windows. It may only be a half hour, 45 minutes, but take advantage of it. Fish it.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring the show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have the last part of that talk we had with Bill Kutka. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and bore sight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with pro angler and fishing guide Bill Kutka.
Bill, you know, when it comes to trolling, gearing up, it's something that's relatively new to a lot of people up in northern Wisconsin. So they want to set up for trolling. Where should they start at? I mean, let's look at rods and reels and line and other equipment for trolling. What's a good starting point for them?
Well, you know, I troll two different ways, with and without boards. And oftentimes I'm out there without boards. And, you know, I'll run a 12-foot rod, an 8-foot rod, and I have 5-foot trolling rods. And it just allows me to spin quicker. It allows me to not have interference of anything else on the line except for my bait and my fish when I get hooked up. You know, less risk of losing that fish. You know, we talked about following contours and such, and it's just a better way and faster way for me to fish. And putting boards on, taking boards off takes time. You know, when you're on a hot bite, you know, those minutes add up and it could be less fish in your boat. But I, when I troll, you know, I'm using anywhere from, you know, a 7'6" to an 8-foot rod. You know, I've got good, carbon core graphite rods, that have good sensitivity up on the tip. And they're machined stainless steel, guides, so you can, you know, monofilament, braid, whatever. It's not going to hurt it. Copper. And, you know, you just want something with a good fast tip, but you want it to have strong backbone. So when that fish hits, it's almost like the snaring rods now on the ice. You know, you got forgiveness while that bite is happening, but then you got the backbone to bring it home. And that's what I like. I like a really good, you know, fast tip, with a medium heavy, backbone to it. And I like long. You know, I've got, the rods I've got are long butt. They fit in the rod holders nice. They're comfortable. You know, they go up against my, you know, abdomen when I'm fighting fish. And, you know, I like a lower profile reel. I use the Okuma 20 series, mags. You know, I'm an old Penn 209, 210 kind of guy. That's what I grew up. Those bigger profile reels. I want something that gives me good gear ratio. It's got a lower profile and gives me the capacity to put, you know, enough, monofilament, on there, and, it's lighter. So, you know, you get a rod that you're comfortable with. You know, you don't have to spend $500. You shouldn't spend $50. You know, put a little money into some good rods. You know, a lot of times people come up and they only have a weekend or a week to fish. You know, get the right equipment. You know, don't get frustrated out there, and let the equipment work for you. But that's what I 90% of the time I've got my 8-foot extendable razor rods out when I'm trolling.
Well, you know, line counter reels too. You don't need to have a line counter reel, but it makes it much easier to be able to repeat what you did as far as catching fish, because depth control is all important, and how far out that lure is running is the key to how the deepest running sometimes, and being able to do the same thing and replicate and duplicate once you catch a fish, the using a line counter reel makes it a lot easier.
Oh, for sure. It I almost say it's, you know, can you do it without it? Yeah, but, you know, if you don't know where your bait is, you're not going to catch fish, right? So, you know, line counter reel to me is a must, because then you can start using all the trolling apps that are out there that tell you, you know, how far to let line out at what depths for what bait. And, but that it's important to have those.
Bill, I want to thank you much for coming on here. You want to give out some information? Somebody's looking to get you for a guide for this next open water season?
Yeah, I'd love it. A lot of excitement coming on, you know, starting the shows. I'm getting a lot of bookings for my open spots right now. But, you know, Hayward, I'll be here from opener to first week of October. Then I head to Lake Erie for October and November out for some big walleye. Folks can find me at BillKutkaAngling.com. I've also got a Facebook presence, or just email me at Bill@BillKutkaAngling.com. And my cell phone is 715-699-4833.
Well, Bill, I want to thank you again for taking the time to share that real good information with our listeners out there.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.